So Paul is speaking to the assembly. It's a house assembly. He's addressed the key relationship, which is between husband and wife, man and woman, forming a home of love. He's told them to be subject to each other in love. He's taken for granted the setting of his own day, but we shouldn't take that for granted, because marriage as an institution has radically changed, and rightly so. So we have to apply the same values in a different kind of a world. So, and that's appropriate, Paul would be the first to do that. So now, having spoken of that very sacred relationship as a sacrament of Christ and the Church, he couldn't put it more beautifully, he now talks about children. And he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Don't miss that bit. I mean, that's not like making it hard. He's saying, this is the way I want you to obey them, in the Lord. So in this relationship that Jesus has set up, for this is right. He also talks about children in Colossians, but he ends there. In Ephesians, he again develops it further. And he says, honour your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And he quotes the promise, continuing the quotation from Exodus and Deuteronomy, Ten Commandments, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. But don't miss, when he says, with a promise, you can't hear that, having read Ephesians 1, 2 and 3, without thinking of the promise that he's already told us to spend three chapters. So it's not simply the words of this promise, it's the words of Ephesians 1, 2 and 3. That's the promise, inheriting the life of God, eternal life. And then he addresses fathers here. Doesn't address mothers, and once again, a lot of the New Testament language is directed to the male. Maybe that's because they're the ones reading, they're the ones educated, I don't know what. But anyhow, that's the fact of it. I don't think he intends to exclude mothers any more than he excludes sisters when he talks to brothers. But he does address fathers, possibly because they're the ones more in danger of breaking this commandment. Don't provoke your children to anger. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up. Bring them up is one way to translate it, but it's exactly the same word he used in that last passage. Nourish. Nurture. So it's about feeding, nourishing. And bring them up is a little bit objective and a bit neutral, isn't it? Can be. But the word is nourish them, nurture them. And of course he means with all the love that he's been talking about for all these chapters. He then, since he's talking about the family, he addresses slaves. Another key relationship endemic in any family. We've done a lot about slavery when we did the letter to Philemon particularly, but also in other places, so pardon me if I don't get into it again. And just enough to say that there are a number of ways of becoming a slave. The most obvious way was military defeat. And so that was, you were just the males and females would be brought home and they would become slaves. Often, beautifully part of the family. They were often more educated. They would be educating children as well. And it wasn't all a negative. We're not talking about salt mines. We're talking about domestic slavery. Not a very nice institution, but that was part of their world. Another way to get into slavery, a far worse way, that the Bible attacks quite often, is through debt. You can't pay your debt, so you become a slave, which you shouldn't be. In the Jewish world, forbade Jewish slaves, because you were slaves once, and you know, but it still happened, and you don't forbid something that's not happening. You know, it means that the law was brought in precisely because it was being broken. So we've got slaves in the home. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling is a technical term We find it in the letter to Philemon, which we'll look at next week. We've seen it in a number of places. Fear and trembling is always another word for sacred. It's something to do with the awe. And it doesn't mean to be terribly afraid of your masters. It means do it in the awe of God, in the fear of the Lord, that virtue, that gift of the Holy Spirit. So do it that way. Do it aware of the sacredness of what... Because we're talking about in a Christian family. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking to the world generally. Slaves, obey your earthly masters. And that already tells you something, doesn't it? Your real master isn't earthly. So do in singleness of heart, again, as. That's the key word. As you obey Christ. That's the as. That's the way I want you to do it. You're all doing it. Well, do it this way. Not only while being watched and in order to please them, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, if you're a slave in a home and you're doing the will of God from the heart, don't worry, there will be many occasions when you have to disobey your earthly master. So he's not talking about blind obedience or rigid control. In fact, Paul, just as when he's talked about governments, the order is there. And back in the Romans, yes, we're not anti-government. We're not anti-establishment by nature. So we have to be part of the citizenship and part of the order of the world. But our real obedience is to Christ. And Paul himself had to disobey. He was martyred because he wouldn't do what he was told to do by the governing powers. And we might have to too, and a slave might have to, because it's the will of God that they're doing. But on the whole, he's saying the order, he's not criticizing the system. Render service with enthusiasm as to the Lord, not to men and women. So do what you're doing. You've got to do it anyhow. There's no choice. They're in it. So do it this way, knowing that whatever good we do, we will receive the same again from the Lord, whether we are slaves or free. It's very relative, this. And masters, do the same. I wouldn't translate it that way. I think he says, do not threaten them. Stop threatening them, I think, is a misunderstanding of the form of the imperative. So rather, do not threaten them, for you know, this is underlying the whole part, both of you have the same master in heaven. And with God, there is no partiality. So underpinning the whole system is the fact that both master and slave, employer and employee, or whatever word you want to put on that relationship thing, in that situation, don't forget, you're both under the lordship of Jesus. So the master must obey Christ in all his ways of doing this, and so must the slave owe obedience higher than to his master. Once again, introducing... Or, not introducing, he would have said this wherever he was, but in writing, giving expression to a whole new way of living the social relationships that were endemic to the society in which he lived. And if we did all that, if we actually did that, the institution itself would necessarily change. And over time it should have. What happened was, back to inculturation and acculturation, what happened is that Christianity spread all right, and it spread to many peoples, and for the most part still, probably in most parts of the world, except for the saints, what happens is the culture is pretty dominant and resistant to real Christianity. So what happens is Christianity, we're better with it, but it can be an inch thick, or it can be a foot thick, or it can actually get to our heart. Getting to the heart is very risky, because that means saint being a saint, which is very beautiful but very demanding. So I think most of us accommodate it somewhere without even being aware of it. And look at our so-called Christian societies. Jesus would weep at nearly everything we do in the name of Jesus, in our churches or anywhere. Now that's humanity. Let's not be black and white about it, but if we followed Paul's values here more and more, we'd find slavery should have never been there, but it kept coming back as cultures embraced Christianity for convenience or whatever reason, and then greed and so on and so on and so on. And then we even justified it. Awful. And a far worse slavery than they had, by the way. We went out, you know, grabbing them from forests and Africa and so on.